Nerdcast, Season 5, Episode 14.
Hey. Yeah, you. Hey. I'm talking to you. Don't tell anybody, but this is Billy West. For real, I'm really here. And, do I gotta prove it? All right. Hey, shut up and take my money. Shut up, you young idiot.
Shut up, both of you.
I don't care. Tell me to shut up. Tell me to talk. I'll talk.
Well, anyway, what these people are trying to say is... this is Project Nerd.
It's episode 14 of the Nerdcast by Project Nerd, featuring Adam, Aaron, Tyler, and Iggy, all four of the elements, as we discussed last week. Welcome back to another great podcast. How's everybody doing?
Hooray!
Good.
How are you doing? Hooray! I'm good.
That's how good I am.
Man. That's me alone. Doing good.
I'm doing good.
Tyler, you there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right.
Let's get back into our heated discussion.
We have things to talk about. Let's get rolling.
We'll get to it. Let's not jump in right away. We do like to discuss a few things. Let's talk about the box office overall.
We have to ease it in. You have to set it up.
I was wrong. The Martian did take Hotel Transylvania 2.
So you're saying is Adam and I were right, is what you're saying.
Right.
That would be the better way of phrasing this.
I was wrong. Anyways, I mean.
Ipso facto, we were right.
Like 90.
Column A, column B.
90% of the people that talk box office were right. I was just going out on a limb thinking that the animated one would keep up, but there was a lot of buzz behind it. You guys were right with the Mars news from NASA early last week.
I got 94% on Rotten Tomatoes going into the weekend, too.
Yeah, it's highly rated. It's a good movie, and we'll talk about it in detail here in a second. But with the Fantasy Movie League, the reason we want to highlight the box office. It's a tight week. I mean, almost all of us just within a few million of each other, really. And I think as Adam and I were discussing before the show started, it's going to be that way probably going forward as we see more of these bigger movies that cost more money and it's harder to strategize your box office there, but, really close. And no, none of us were number one this week. AN pulls out a number one there.
Oh, way to go, AN.
Yeah. But, for the season, it's, what? Is it Adam, right? And then
it's Adam
right behind him, Tyler. And then just a little bit more of a distance, but still short distance, me. And then a little bit more, still a short distance, Ann. And then Jared right there. I mean, any five of us could overtake the whole, like, depending on just a really strong weekend.
Top five within $39 million, like you're saying. One good weekend where some people have a bit of a rough week, and all of a sudden the top five looks totally different.
And Aaron's playing too.
Well, totally different.
Thank you.
three through seven looks totally different. One and two looks about the same.
All right.
I mean, Anne got the big win though, because she definitely got The Intern, which was the best performer, like dollar for dollar, which gave her an extra $6 million bonus. So well done, Anne. I would like to say for the record that if you subtract best performer bonuses, I definitely, on straight up dollars, I won.
If you don't apply all of the rules, then I would be the winner. Yes, that's correct.
If you looked at it this morning, you actually had Adam sitting in the first place, although Tyler was in second place with like $3 million more than he was. And then it was and then once you applied the bonuses, everything kind of moved around. And like I said, Anne doubled up on that bonus with having not once but twice having that in there. So good performance.
She has some pretty good taste. Because
are you gonna? Okay, go ahead.
Well, she also thinks that Teen Titans Go is a good show. So there are other people who agree with my opinion out there who also have good taste in movies. Hence, like the proof here from this week and her good job there. Okay, sorry, I had to tie it in somehow.
That's fine. So the big topic at hand, of course, which we've led up to for roughly what, 3, 4, 5 months of discussion?
6 or 7 is closer to the actual number, I think.
Yes, Tyler did give it a drop, I think, last winter or a year ago almost, actually, when it first was starting to be a little bit more public about it. But for the most part, this summer, we've discussed The Martian in detail. All have read the book, all have loved the book, And guess what? We've all seen the movie opening weekend.
Look at that.
Like, I know.
How long has it been since that's happened?
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
I was trying to think the last movie I saw in theater was Ant-Man. So back in July.
Yeah, but that I don't think that was opening weekend. I think it's been a long time since we've all seen a movie opening weekend.
Yeah, I went during the week afterwards. And then I can tell you, though, I would not be shocked to see us repeat it. I don't even care if it's Rocky Mountain Con weekend. I don't even care if a charity event is going on that Friday night. My butt's going to be in the theater watching some James Bond. That's all I can say. Dun, 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 I'll drop my money off at the charity event on the way. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, no, that's happening.
I'm trying so hard because one of our big movie reviewers, and he's written, since January, biweekly and now weekly, an article series on every single James Bond movie. And I don't mean just like an article like, hey, here's a couple hundred words. I mean a few thousand words per. So if you got time to read, they're fantastic. They break down every detail. But Brandon, covering all that, and he brought up a very valid point. The fourth installment of all the previous Bond actors, it's kind of a letdown. Even Sean Connery. So you have the fourth installment there for Sean Connery, Roger Moore, and then, of course, the most laughable installment of three letdowns for Pierce Brosnan. It's hard not to get on the hype train because I feel like they've just done an amazing job with the current Bond run, but it is the fourth Bond.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern would not be so much that whether or not it's big letdown, not letdown. I mean, we've gone one really good Daniel Craig, one pretty forgettable Daniel Craig, one I thought fantastic Daniel Craig, and then where's the fourth one go? But based on the internal memos during the Sony leak, there were definitely, I guess, concerns expressed by people at Sony about the script and about a lot of things. So, I mean, I think that's the impetus for a lot of the negative, the concern about it, but I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to look at a movie that's starring, you know, Daniel Craig as James Bond again with bringing in Spectre for the first time, and then you get, you know, two-time Academy Award winning as your villain, and it's going to be fantastic. So I don't know. I have high hopes.
I see all of your concerns, and I raise you Christoph Waltz.
Exactly.
I mean, it's game over. Everything else is just doesn't even matter.
Waltz, Ben Whishaw, Ralph Fiennes, you got them all going there. So it's a pretty phenomenal cast, and it's hard too because you even say there's a good Bond movie, a letdown, and then a great Bond movie so far with Daniel Craig. But even the good Bond movie was really, really good and really favored because it was after Pierce Brosnan's like GoldenEye and then just a steep decline. And so even, you know, Casino Royale, it was a great movie, but yes, it's not at the level Skyfall. It's not at the level Doctor No. It's not, you know, but it was fantastic.
It was just so good because it was, number one, it was a reboot that did it really well. You know, not only was it a new Bond, but it was definitely a reboot of the Bond franchise. And it went back to the roots of the Fleming novels with he was a little bit more rough around the edges, a little bit more badass, you know, less tuxedo and martini and more I have a license to kill and I use it to kill people.
Change the tone, beat liberally, up. Yes. Myself is beat up as well, all those kinds of things. So definitely something exciting that will be. And like I said, it's Rocky Mountain Con weekend and Project Nerd Team will be at Rocky Mountain Con. So exciting news. But let's go ahead and dive into it. We skipped ahead to Bond, but we all want to talk about it. And we'll remain spoiler-free because we understand this is the first weekend. So we'll keep it spoiler-free for the most part. We'll try to. But The Martian...
I don't see that working.
Yeah, we're going for it. Well, I'll put it in the comments. If it says in the comments there's spoilers, or it says, I'm sorry, in the description, then you know it is. But as of right now, we're pledging spoiler-free. At least I am. Anyways, The Martian, spoiler-free thoughts.
I don't know. Ridley Scott is back. I mean, it's probably the best Ridley Scott movie he's made since... God, I don't even know. I mean, he's definitely had some outings. I don't even know if we go far. I don't know. It's one of the best Ridley Scott movies. It's by far the best Ridley Scott movie he's been is made in the last decade or so, easily. So
I thought it was really, really good. I was smiling throughout large portions of the movie, both from the dialogue and from the movie itself, just thoroughly enjoying what was happening. They departed from the source material where it needed, and I'm okay with that because they still made a good movie that told the same story. Even if some of the pieces were different, I think they got the same kind of ideas across that the book got across. And to me, that's the most important part when you're doing an adapted screenplay or a movie from a book. And I really liked working within the confines of PG-13 to get more folks out to see a sci-fi movie. I really like some of the changes and some of the fun techniques they use to get over and around some of the language that that's fairly adult in the book. So
for sure. I think big props to both Ridley Scott and especially Drew Goddard, because they managed to take a book that is, number one, almost entirely told in monologue and like logs and stuff like that, is chock full of kind of dense, you know, exposition through monologue, especially with around a lot of the science stuff. And, you know, it's nothing's ever being explained in real time as far as, you know, Watney's concerned. It's all him recounting a thing that happened. There's very few scenes with Watney in them that are in real time. Everything back on Earth really is. But the movie's 2.5 hours long, but it moves along at a very good clip. Like, the pacing on it never feels like it's dragged a bit. And the only part that even I think feels a little bit rushed is the first 15, 20 minutes from, you know, here's the crew on Mars, here's Watney stranded on Mars. Like, that little bit's the only part that seems a little bit rushed. But the fact that they were able to take a very wordy, you know, monologue centric book and turn it into a exciting, engaging 2.5 hour movie that never feels like 2.5 hours is pretty impressive.
I'm going to go ahead and completely disagree with you on the pacing, because I literally felt bored for like minutes at a time, like where they could have filled it with funny things that like would have improved the tone, which I don't think matched the book at all. I think the tone was totally different. I mean, I think it was a good movie, but I felt like if there was one thing it was missing, it was the pacing. The pacing was definitely not very good. That's just my opinion.
I fall kind of in the middle of where y'all are talking. I have no problem with the pacing. I was never bored with the movie. I agree. The 2.5 hours, I didn't even realize it was that long. I do agree to agree with Aaron that I feel like the tone was a bit different than the book. And I felt, as we discussed it, since we're keeping the spoilers out of here, we discussed the spoilers earlier. I felt they could have done a better job of adding certain bits of Watney's personality to it. Cause as we've talked about in the past, Damon, and he did a great job as Watney, cause we feel Damon, it was probably the perfect one. I felt most of the people were perfectly cast. A certain actor I felt kind of mailed it in, and I've never been sold on Jessica Chastain except for The Help. That's the only role I've really seen her do great in. And I get America loves her. They want to give her Oscars every year, even when she's not in a movie. I don't know why, but I just don't think she's that good. She doesn't do anything to kill it for me here, but at the same time, I feel like they give her a little bit more attention than she probably deserves as an actress, not only in this movie, but in previous movies.
Well, for me, her role deserved the attention. I mean, a little bit of the changes that they had to make, Commander Lewis takes on a pretty big chunk, and you get a fair amount of that in the book, even with her guilt and associated with Watney's situation. Like, that's, I think it has to be in there. And I think you kind of said it. She certainly isn't winning any Oscars for this award, but I didn't have a problem with any of the acting in the movie.
And it, yeah. Who was your favorite? Who ended up being your favorite person in the movie? Like, the actor? I know I have to
like the actor fitting the role.
Yeah, I have to say, but Michael Pena. I don't know. Oh, yeah. I've seen him do something wrong.
Oh my gosh.
In the past decade, but him as Martinez was probably
it was really good,
pretty on point. And it was
Johansson's was good too.
Yeah, but it wasn't a huge role, but he's pretty on point. I love Michael Pena. Each time I see him in something new, he grows further and further on me. He definitely was a great Martinez, and I thought that was perfectly replicated from the book. And again, as I said earlier, I felt Damon, you had a chance to show more of Watney from the book, but even what they showed, I still think that it was a perfect replica. Like as we discussed, we felt like he must have written this book with Damon in mind, because it really was spot on.
I'm seriously confused about whether or not you like the movie or not. I got to be honest.
I like the movie. I said I like the movie because I pointed out some things I had problems with in our Facebook conversation. You guys think I hate it and everything. But no, I feel like there was certain...
No. I don't think you hate the movie. I think you hate Jessica Chastain, which it doesn't...
I do. I'm not a fan of her at all, really. I think she was the worst part of Interstellar. I really...
You gotta get past all that for this movie. You can't hold a bad job in Interstellar against her.
I don't think she was convincing in this either, though.
She did a good job in Interstellar. Yeah. I don't know why you don't like her. What is the deal?
She just doesn't sell me on the role she's supposed to be playing, except for The Help. Like I said, she was phenomenal as Celia Foote, right? Is that her name in the Help? Great. I think everybody in The Help was phenomenal, to be honest. And I think most of the people perfectly did their roles here. I just don't feel, when I see her in that situation, I wasn't buying it. And I was fine. Like you mentioned, there were some changes that helped kind of give her that lead a little bit more than that was in the book. And I'm completely fine with that. And like I said, it makes complete sense with her being captain and all. But I don't know. She's not blown me away yet. And she has seemed to, and I don't think it's that I dislike her so much. I think my argument is that she hasn't blown me away. And yet somewhere along the way in the past, 5 or 6 years, she's blown America away. And I just don't know where it happened.
So you're being a hipster about her?
No, I'm not being a hipster. I just don't think
he's holding other people liking her against her.
Yeah.
No.
That's exactly what you're saying. You're saying you don't.
Not as good as everybody else. So
I think that, but I'm not holding that against her. I still think.
That's exactly what you just said you're doing. You're like, it's not that I don't like her. It's that everyone else likes her. And I just don't
I didn't say I don't like her. I didn't say I don't like her. I did say I don't like her. I said my problem.
Because everyone else likes her. I get it.
No, I just don't understand why.
You're bitter and you're angry, and it's okay.
Anyways,
it's like you and every female comedian in Ghostbusters the reboot. They're women. They're funny. Other people like them. Fuck them.
Exactly.
Sorry. Okay. I just have to say that Iggy, now you know the pain of when you guys jump on me for saying I hate the Muppets. I don't hate the Muppets. I just don't love it as much as you guys. And I think that Iggy feels the same about the Martian.
No, I don't like Jessica Chastain. There isn't a, I don't like her as much as y'all. No, I don't like her as an actress.
I'm talking about the Martian. Hipster or anything. Overall.
No, it's the Martian. I enjoyed it. I said it was a good sci-fi movie. It's something that I like to. And I also even posted when we were talking about it that I have been, for some reason, the past 2 years, I don't know if it's because I'm so busy and I set that time aside and money aside. When I go to a theater, I have been super critical about everything I've seen in theaters, especially.
That is true. That is
completely
true.
So I am also acknowledging that. I acknowledge that, but I was just saying, you know, I had a list, and it was a short list. It wasn't even that big of a list of things that I felt it could have done better, but it doesn't make it a bad movie or not a good movie. And it definitely is a worthy adaptation. And like I said, it's a solid science fiction movie. Now, Jessica Chastain, on the other hand,
you're getting old and crotchety and you just don't enjoy movies anymore.
I do. And cool.
Tyler,
if you put that damn ball on my yard again, I'm going to keep it. That's all I have to say. Anyway, so one thing I do want to touch on with Ridley Scott is I know there's a lot of talk about he's not the same. And I understand. We haven't seen a movie from him. And I still think even with The Martian, we haven't seen anything to the level of, you know, Blade Runner or, you know, certain aliens happening in space, not different types of Martians, I guess, as you would say. But I'm going to put it out there. I want to have this conversation with you guys because I know, y'all, Adam and Tyler, especially big Ridley Scott fans, especially those early works, because you're big fans of those early sci-fi movies he did. But when I look at his past decades worth of work, I see some movies that are very lowly. They are not very highly praised. However, I don't think they're bad.
He's never made. That's a lie. He's very rarely made something that could be considered a bad movie.
No, The Counselor.
A lot of times, the part of times, The Counselor is pretty close.
And The Counselor had so much going for it, and then it just kind of unravels.
And Exodus is pretty close, too.
Exodus recently, and I didn't hate it as bad as everybody else did. And maybe it's because I went in with super low expectations. It wasn't terrible. It could have been so much more, but it wasn't bad.
Did you want to ask us about Adam and I about this or not?
I wanted to point out a few things. I wanted to specifically get your opinion on one in particular that I like a lot. And I think the reason I was leading up to this and I wanted to ask this, and I think the reason is I enjoy the Alien movies, but they're not like a gift from God like you two think they are, like in my opinion. And so I'm wondering if that's why I can appreciate Prometheus more than y'all can appreciate Prometheus, because I really like Prometheus. I think it's a solid sci-fi movie. I don't even think it's just where I'm sitting here with Counselor and Exodus, where I'm saying, oh, Counselor unraveled, or Exodus wasn't that bad. No, I really enjoy Prometheus.
Okay, start over at the beginning. Saying is you don't like the movie Alien.
No, that's not what I'm saying before Tyler tries now to hang me up on something else. I'm saying the aliens aren't my holy grail of movie.
He made one of them.
Yeah, okay, I understand that.
Okay.
But at the same time, you, especially Adam, as a whole, like that whole series to him is like a...
Okay, you can't hang all that on Ridley Scott. You can hang Alien on Ridley Scott.
Okay.
What's your problem specifically with the movie Alien, the first
one? I have no problem with it.
What's your problem with them loving it? Because the way you're describing it, it's like...
What the hell is going on? Seriously, guys. I'm trying to ask a question. Is it because Alien wasn't like a childhood like love of my life like it was for y'all? Is that a reason why I possibly appreciate Prometheus more than you guys do? Is what I'm trying to get at.
No, you're just...
Well, I want to know why you think that you enjoy Prometheus more than we do. I really like Prometheus as well.
Well, mainly because of the people who in general...
Other people who like Alien didn't like
Prometheus. And Tyler has made comments about it before. I guess Adam...
I didn't hate Prometheus.
I know, I'm not saying...
It was a big letdown.
I'm pretty sure you said you hated it.
Never said that.
No, you said it every 3 seconds. You said you hate everything.
Nope, I've never said that.
Okay, anyway... Since we're children here today. But no, my point is I know you don't like, to me, I really enjoy it. And I'm just curious, the general feeling for Prometheus from Alien lovers is that it's not that great of a film.
It's not when you compare it to Alien and Aliens.
See, that's
like, that's the problem. Alien was a game changer. I mean, it came out in 1979 as a sci-fi movie, as a horror movie, as a thriller, as a practical effects movie. I mean, it turned Sigourney Weaver into a star. It set the standard for, you know, sci-fi thriller. It as much as, if not more so, than Blade Runner is, I mean, the progenitor of so much great sci-fi after it.
I get that. But Prometheus, like, I get it's not a game changer, but every movie can't be a game changer, or then there's no such thing as a game changer.
Exactly, which is why the people, I mean, Ridley Scott is a victim of his own success. Two of the very first movies he ever made are highly regarded as two of the best sci-fi movies ever made. He was never going to top that. He can't go back and make another Alien or another Blade Runner. Like, it's not going to happen.
So all of this that we just had for the past whatever 5+ minutes, Tyler pretty much summed it up perfectly to answer and address everything in one statement. He's a victim of his own success, and because his first sci-fi movies were as defined as we've discussed before, game changers, you're never going to see that stuff at the same level. So people are not going to. So, and the reason I bring that up is
there was a level of expectation going with Ridley Scott returning to the world of Alien because he stayed away from it. He wasn't going back. Like
true.
He let the studio let other people take control, and he was okay with that. And so, him returning to that world, I think there was a level of expectation of. He's going to do it again. This is going to be awesome. And it's hard to catch lightning twice.
And almost all the problems that people had with Prometheus had nothing to do with the film itself. They didn't have to do with the effects or the style or the cinematography. It really just had to do with they didn't like the places the story went, and it wasn't true to the original Alien movie. Like, I don't know many people who saw the movie and were angry because it didn't look good or wasn't shot well or wasn't paced well or he directed it poorly. Most people just didn't like the story.
Okay.
And you had a lot of the biggest premise of Alien, I think one of the biggest, like, the confound of Alien is you have these people, especially the first one, you have a bunch of blue collar people out of their depth, you know, making do with what they can and overcoming this unstoppable, perfect killing machine. And then in Prometheus, I think the biggest complaint is you have these apparently very brilliant, very capable scientists and stuff like that, who just scene after scene after scene, like, identify what the worst possible decision they could possibly make is, and then make that decision. Like, what's the dumbest thing I could do here? Let's do that.
Okay. So he's falling into much of the horror formula, but okay, that addresses it. I understand it's 3 years later, but we've really never had that conversation. And so I was just curious to talk about it. But before we completely unraveled over here, we were asking what each of your favorite characters from The Martian were, or the actors, excuse me, portraying their character. I said Pina as Martinez. I don't think we actually got an answer from anybody else before we
went on. I said Johansson. I stuck it in there. I just said it. I don't even really like that actress very much. I think it's because of how much other people like her. I can't even say it. It's so stupid.
Stop being a jerk. Anyway, Tyler and Adam. Tyler and Adam.
But I don't really like her. She did a good job, though.
I can mute you, Aaron.
I don't know how you can't answer Matt Damon. I mean, it's his movie, and he does some amazing things in this film. Like, without trying to be spoilerific about it, like, his ability to be alone the entire time and you know, cliche as it may be, you know, go through the whole range of human emotions is amazing. Like, there's a sequence in the movie where he is sorting potatoes. And he keeps stopping, and there's a sound that has, because of a scene that happened, and he keeps looking over at what's making the sound. And, like, the whole sequence is just, it's fantastic. No,
very well done. I agree with you on his.
He's the answer to that question. I mean, for one, he has 1,000 times more screen time than anyone else in the movie. I mean, everyone else gets their chance.
Doesn't mean you can't appreciate one or two. Else, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's just.
Adam, you were shaking your head.
I think you just
picked
the obvious choice, though. I mean, Adam, that's just super obvious.
Anyways, Adam, you were shaking your head in agreement with Tyler.
It is. I mean, everyone else does a good job, but I don't. And reading it, as soon as they announced it, I mean, I can't think of Mark Watney and not read it in Matt Damon's voice. Like, when I read the book, like, oh yeah, it's him. It's pieces from, you know, Ocean's 11. It's pieces from Bourne. It's all these different little pieces of this hyper intelligent, but also apparently totally down to earth guy, just being really, really funny. You know, like, legitimately bringing my wife to tears in the movie theater. Like, it's He did an amazing job. He killed it. If it were somebody else, I think it would be Michael Peña as well, though. That the scene of them, like, emailing is absolutely fantastic. and again, I can't see anybody else doing that as well.
It was pretty, and as we discussed before we even saw it, based on the characters we read in the book, it was pretty solid cast. So great job on that. We'll move on so we don't get too spoilerific. I'm sure we will discuss The Martian time and time again this year. And as we get later in the year, we'll dive deeper into things we loved and didn't love about it to give you some more spoilers. But sticking with the space conversation, I did want to point out one thing too. I don't know if the rest of you guys saw this. Monday released, somebody posted, what was it, thousands of images of NASA's trip to the moon. So almost every photo taken on the moon by NASA posted on Flickr in glorious high resolution, because Flickr doesn't bastardize your photos like Facebook does. So it's beautiful, beautiful photos if you want to see them. I don't know if anybody's taken a peek at the gallery.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's totally fake.
The whole thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful 100,000 so pictures of this studio in Nevada. Uh-huh. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
That is by far my favorite conspiracy theory. In case anybody wants to know, that the moon landing was fake is my favorite.
I agree. That's what I love, that conspiracy. And I've done so much like digging into it and reading on what could have been this, what could have been that. I absolutely love that theory. And think there's some fantastic stuff that people try to support it. And then there's some stuff that are, you know, but it's definitely, a fun one.
My number Tyler one. Hates this though. Like he super, super hates it. Look at his face. Oh my gosh.
As a conspiracy theory, it's fantastic. And my favorite conspiracy about it, ties back into nerddom and movies and stuff like that. And is that Stanley Kubrick's 2001, A Space Odyssey, is essentially a test run for how well he can do the special effects to make a moon landing look real. And then after that, they like went, they decided, oh, nope, yep, we're definitely going to do it. And we're going to have Stanley Kubrick, a British man, fake the United States landing on the moon. I was like, oh, perfect. That makes sense. I'm on board.
The Stanley Kubrick one's really good. I do like that one. That, yeah, you're probably on point. That's probably the best one. The best item for that. He was the one who actually directed the whole thing. And that's why he's saying,
well, he would.
Obviously.
He totally would.
Obviously. And that's one, speaking of books we've read recently, Armada, you know, there was some good conspiracy theory things in there that they did too, that I thought played out along those lines that were pretty fantastic. So, books. I will let actually Aaron go with this. You finished a book recently, Aaron.
I did. I don't want to talk about it.
Kind of defeats the purpose of us having a podcast where we talk about geeky.
We're just going to stare at each other.
Hey, I just said I don't want to talk about Ready Player One. Is that cool? Like,
oh gosh, still... are you going to say that you didn't really like it, and Tyler and I are going to have to freak out on you now?
No, first of all. I said it last week. I know exactly why you loved it so much. And I have mixed feelings about it. And I'm still trying to work it out. Like, it was a good book, but I don't even want to tell you why I have a feeling about not, like, anyway, I don't even want to say it.
Is it because it's a fun book, but probably not super, like, it's probably not the best book ever written.
I can understand that, but it is a really
fun book and it's an enjoyable read, and that's all it needed to be.
It is exactly, that totally sums it up. It's a fun book. It wasn't necessarily the best written, and it reminded me of something that maybe if I was in high school, I would have absolutely loved it. But I think it's written from the perspective of a high school boy. So maybe I couldn't jump into it because I'm not a boy. I don't know. And I also didn't.
Did you just call me juvenile?
That's why I didn't want to tell you. I didn't really. That's why I have mixed feelings about it. But you also like love video games. And I feel like if you are someone who really, really, really loves video games, you will love Ready Player One. And also, like, I don't really like 80s music. So and that's another thing that you love. So there's a lot of references to the 80s in it. And if, you know, if that's your thing, if you can relate to a lot of the stuff that he talks about, I think that the enjoyment goes up significantly. And I thought it was a fun read, but definitely, I don't know. What do you think about it, Tyler?
Exactly the same thing. I mean, it's no one ever accused Ernest Cline of being, you know, a paragon of literature. Like, he writes fun, exciting books that overload you on fun, awesome nostalgia, everything from Zork to War Games to Monty Python, and that's fun.
And I've never even seen War Games, and I realized, like, there were most of the references... most of the references that Ernest Cline makes in Ready Player One, like, probably 75% of them, I didn't get. At least 75%.
I'm literally just going to log off and leave. Between you guys bringing up the most disgusting conspiracy theory to ever that I'm still upset about right now, just having to listen to you talk about, and her never seeing War Games, I'm done with all of you.
Screen sharing it right now.
How about this, Tyler? No, how about this, Tyler? Pepsi has announced for New York Comic Con that their booth will be set up recreating the cafe scene from Back to the Future 2, including the DeLorean next to it was the time machine. But most importantly, they will have a limited supply of Pepsi Perfect on hand. That's right. Pepsi Perfect will be available for Comic-Con just in time for the actual date that Marty McFly and Doc, Marty, and gosh, how am I blanking on her name right now?
Who are you blanking on?
His girlfriend.
Jennifer?
Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you. And I should know. I've just watched two out
Hold
of
on.
So far.
What isn't it Pepsi Free? Why is it Pepsi Perfect?
Pepsi Perfect.
What's Pepsi Perfect?
Because he's the one in Back to the Future 2 when they go to the future.
When they go to the future and he gets that fancy glass bottle with it, and it's Pepsi, and it pops up out of the little tube thing.
So when it's the past one, it's Pepsi Free.
No, well, he tries to order a Pepsi Free in 1955, but they don't make it then.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I know. Because he's like, you don't get no free soda here or something like that. I don't know.
No. So Pepsi Perfect is the future one, 2015. So they are going to have, if I remember correctly, I think it's like 6,500 bottles of these. So there will only be 6,500 of these released all at New York Comic Con here and upcoming this weekend. Pretty interesting, if I say so. I almost want to just go to New York Comic Con just for this bottle of Pepsi Perfect, or to even just check out the cafe. Sounds pretty cool. But of course, as we've discussed it behind the scenes and even on the podcast, October 21st, 2015 is the date that they travel to in the future. So just for the record, the Cubs are entering the playoffs at this time. We will see what happens, but the Cubs are heading to the
dun, dun, dun.
And even though the Marlins are now called Miami Marlins and not the Florida Marlins, well, one, there's never a chance because they're in the same league, but at the same time, there was never a chance because they're the Marlins. But anyways, so the Cubs are, we'll see. Maybe they break the curse and maybe Back to the Future got it right. They do have quite a few Jaws movies to release here in the next 3 weeks, though, to catch up with that number. But would you guys pick up a bottle of Pepsi Perfect if you were at New York Comic Con?
Yes. I mean, yeah. I don't.
Is that a trick question? Or
I don't know. Maybe you don't like Pepsi.
No, I go to. I don't understand the question.
Anyways.
If you were at the place where they had this thing, would you get it?
Yes. I'm trying to engage conversation here, Tyler. Trying to keep you guys.
I'm sorry. You guys went off on your fucking moon landing thing, and it just checked me out. It makes me physically angry.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I can't believe you guys brought that up, because don't you guys remember the last time we brought it up? It was, I think it was about 3 years ago, and I got the dirtiest look
I've ever seen
a human being ever give someone.
Even remember what I did 30 years ago. How am I going to remember something I did 3 years ago? I don't know.
Well, so. It's a big Pepsi deal, Perfect. Tyler. You should
we
know
were
that
talking about, Pepsi
Perfect. It's like the greatest achievement, one of the greatest achievements in human history, and people try to disprove it and make it into some fucking joke, and it's disgusting.
All right.
It's angering. It makes
multiple
me
F-bombs later. So, Pepsi Perfect, New York Comic Con, if you're there, like we said, 6,500 bottles. Since New York Comic Con opens on Thursday and we air on Friday, you're probably too late. So, sorry, guys. But
if you got one, hopefully you got a second one you can send to me. Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Well, before we send it straight to Adam, I mean, you know, there are others of us on the podcast here.
I'm pretty sure that was just my dibs. So. Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, buddy.
I can edit that out and say, my dibs in first. That's what I'll do. Advantage of being the editor. So
what we'll do for you, Aaron, is next summer you come out to my house. We'll run you through a 80s awesomeness.
Oh, no, please no.
Nostalgia thing.
No,
that
please
you
no. I see part happen. Of the reason why I didn't understand a lot of those references is because I'm not interested. I really don't like the 80s. I don't like the 80s cars. I don't like 80s like shows on TV. I don't like 80s except for Charles in Charge. I don't like
Whoa, except for Charles in Charge?
She just tried to blow right by that one like she didn't just say that. Wait a minute.
Everything glorious from the 80s, she goes with Charles in Charge.
Have you guys seen that show? It was a good show. I watched it every day after school with Full House.
We get it. You had a crush on Scott Baio. It's cool.
No, I didn't. He was gross, but I liked the
number
show.
Of 80s Thank movies.
There's so many amazing 80s movies.
I'm also not a big fan of the 80s movies. Like
not only movies, music. Argue with her on the music.
I don't 80s like 80s music.
Glorious.
Like, okay, that's like a decade. I mean, that's
I know.
Specifically a decade worth of stuff. There's a lot of good things there.
There's not. The fashion was the worst in history, and it disgusts me that it's made a comeback.
I'll give you the fashion. I will give you that decade of all the decades I can think of is probably the worst decade for fashion. I will 100% give you that. However, music alone, besides 80s pop music, I mean, you're talking Michael Jackson, like, in his
Which,
prime.
You know, I never really grew up like Michael Jackson. Like, I can appreciate him, but it's not.
Problem. You have a problem, my friend.
So, I mean, just like off the top of my head, I don't know. The Back to Future movies. Those are 80s movies.
Gremlins, Goonies.
I didn't really like Gremlins.
Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi's.
Okay.
80s movies.
Majority. Like, you're listing, like, a handful of jewels. Like,
oh, you know what?
There's a handful.
Princess Bride.
Beautiful.
Mm. Your argument's invalid, Aaron. Princess
Bride. It's my personal opinion. It's my taste. Okay, I have a distaste for the 80s, and I promise you, I understand that the two people out there who like me on this podcast decided that they just hate me. I'm pretty sure of it.
Boss Dan is your ally.
How about
person on this podcast?
How about Indiana Jones 1, 2, and 3?
They were all in the 80s?
You did 3 get in here? Is it 89?
Like 89, yeah.
How about 89 Batman? How about Batman?
Oh, my gosh.
How about Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Just think about all of those horrible other movies that totally negate.
Every decade has horrible movies.
The 80s Ninja Turtles
introduced in the 80s.
How?
Ghostbusters.
Because they did. Look at all the sequels of horrible shit that they made. Just, ugh. Horrible.
Ninja Turtles.
Like every other decade.
No, the 80s has the most. Like, if you were to quantify bad movies, 80s has the largest group.
I can do this.
That's not even remotely true. It's not even funny.
I can say it because that would take too much time to actually quantify.
No, because there are rating systems out there where people rate movies, and we can find which decade has the most of the top 100 worst movies, I'm sure, relatively quickly. In fact, I think Iggy and Tyler are currently working.
And I bet it's the 80s.
I mean,
hold on, guys. Everybody, I got just 3 questions for Aaron. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Club.
E.T.
I love them all, obviously. Who doesn't Candles? Like those movies? I freaking love that movie so hard.
An American Tale.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Great. A Never-Ending Story.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
How about Akira? Oh,
I love The Lost Boys. I've never seen Akira.
What?
Big.
Stand By Me.
Ugh, Big is like one of my all-time favorite movies.
Beetlejuice.
Ghostbusters.
Okay. Turns out Aaron's a fan of the 80s.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is the best baseball movie. Let's talk about baseball movies. Let's change the subject. Which is the best baseball movie? I don't think we've had this conversation.
We've had this conversation like 50 times because every time we have this conversation, we all say The Natural and you go off into crazy, I hate Robert Redford land.
Okay, we may not have recorded it on the podcast.
Yes, we've actually recorded it.
I just wanted to share my opinion once again that Field of Dreams is the best baseball movie of all time.
Field of Dreams is definitely up there. None of us has ever argued you that.
It's in the top 3 easily. It's just not number 1.
But you just, when you're looking at it, it's hard to even, but it's, you're talking Natural, Boulder, Field of Dreams. Like, and you just, and the point is that all 3 of us will agree Field of Dreams is right up there with those 3.
There are four movies.
Major League also.
Yeah, they're 4 baseball movies, and they're almost interchangeable.
But you immediately dismiss The Natural because of Robert Redford, and you don't understand. You don't understand that
it's so boring.
No, it's not boring at all. It's phenomenal.
I even read the book, and the
I'm
book
gonna
is
sit
like
here and pout like Tyler
better.
The rest of the episode because of what you said.
He just wants to walk down the street and have people see him and say that there goes the best that ever was. What's wrong with that?
And there goes Roy Hobbs. The best that ever will be.
The best home run anthem ever to accompany.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, when you went to a baseball game as a child, like when I went to a baseball game through the late 80s and the 90s, if somebody hit a home run at the ballpark in Arlington or whatever they called that stadium at that time, what did they play? That song. Not from Field of Dreams, but from The Natural.
So I was 25 when I went to my very first professional baseball game. When I was growing up, I didn't go to baseball games at all. I don't have anybody in my family who played baseball. I think I went to like 3 baseball games when I was a kid.
I feel video is needed for this one because the amount of the looks that we've seen from Tyler and Adam today are just priceless so far.
I did play a lot of baseball in the summertime with two other people.
I never played baseball. I have zero depth perception. I can't play baseball at all.
There's five. No. Speaking of that, there's five. I forgot.
Oh, I thought Tyler was going to point out that there's actually, you need nine people to play baseball.
No, there's five. There's the Natural, Field of Dreams, Major League, Bull Durham, and the Sandlot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, obviously. Which isn't an 80s movie, but it definitely has that feeling of an 80s movie.
Yeah.
I feel like you're missing one.
Just pointing it out there.
Of the best baseball movies ever.
Oh, there's a lot of other good ones or even great ones.
Oh, yeah. There's a group right underneath that, and it's like right underneath it that has probably 10 or 15 movies in it.
Yeah. I do love me some baseball movies. I feel like of all sports movies, like baseball films the best, you know? I don't know why.
Because it's slow and easy to film.
And non-athletes can make believable baseball players.
That's right. You don't have to be very fast right now. We're just going to shave your head very weird and play Wild Thing as you come out of the bullpen. That's all you have to do.
What about A League of Their Own? You didn't include that one.
That's in the next notch. It's on the next notch.
Right, it's right there, yeah.
So it's tier two. So like we have tiers of quality.
It's in much. Like
tier one.
There's top five, and it's in top ten. Like Field of Dreams makes the top ten, doesn't make the top five.
Whenever we
finally... You just said it made the top three, and then you
changed. No, I said it makes the top ten. It doesn't make the top five.
He's talking about League of the...
Oh, okay.
Never completely mind. Different movie right now.
Okay.
So, anyways, the point is to be from tier one to tier two. When we finally release the Pro Nerd 100, 100 greatest movies of all time, in the opinion of a large panel.
Did any baseball movies make the list?
You're going to see movies like the ones we've discussed on there. However, you know, League of Their Own, things like that may not be there because they're just not... 100 greatest movies of all time, although they are fantastic. And I could watch A League of Their Own constantly. Tom Hanks, phenomenal. And yep. Gina Davis, fantastic.
All the ladies do.
Yeah. Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that's like when you're thinking who's the best cast member from The Martian. Who's the best cast member in League of Their Own? But anyway.
So if you were stuck on a deserted island.
So speaking of the Pro Nerd movies. This makes me laugh because now speaking of the Pro Nerd 100, I'm looking at IMDb's like highest rated movies or most popular movies that came out between 1980 and 1989. And of the top 10, I think probably almost half of them are in the Pro Nerd 100 easily.
Probably, if not all of them.
Not all of them.
One we forgot to leave out though that I wanted to point out before we moved away from the 80s for Aaron was The Labyrinth. We didn't even say that earlier. Like
I changed that subject for a very good reason. We don't have
to back up. Or we can go Ridley Scott with it and go Legend. And also an 80s movie.
I never saw that movie. Everybody was talking.
I never saw Legend.
About Blade Runner or I don't know. The Goonies.
You guys are going to hate me.
You don't like The Goonies?
No, it's
The
fine.
Goonies Never Say Die.
It's fine. The Goonies is fine, Aaron, but it's not like I'm in love with this movie so much, and I've kept that to myself. I don't know why I'm sharing that information now.
How about National Lampoon's Vacation?
I don't even need to. It's just a unanimous decision that Aaron will be muted for the rest of the episode. That Goonies comment.
Tonight. And we are now taking applications to be the fourth podcast member of the Nerdcast. Apply it.
Do you guys understand that the reason why The Goonies isn't like my thing as much as it is for you is because I've mentioned it before. I'll say it again. I was a deprived child. I didn't even really watch The Goonies until I was an adult.
But booby traps.
But boobies.
Yeah. No, booby traps.
But Chunk loves Sloth.
It's a
sweet movie, but if you didn't get in on it when you were a kid.
Like, a bunch of kids get to go down into a cave and find a pirate ship. I mean,
you didn't get into it as a kid. Like, you could show it to a kid today, and it's fine. You can show it to an adult.
Exactly, because they're kids. But if an adult... Okay, you show me the group of people between 50 and 75 who love that movie because they saw it when they were adults the first time. You show me the group of people who love it. Your dad loves it because you were a kid and he was relating to you.
Believe it or not, Aaron, people like things that you don't like, and it's just one of those things you need to come to terms with.
The Holy only thing crap. That could have made, hold on, the only thing that could have just made Goonies better, the only thing that could have made Goonies better was Robert Redford. I think so.
You loser. Adam is losing his mind right now.
All right, so perfect nostalgia episode we've had here. We've talked about The Martian. We've talked about, you know, movies to come. Some cool things have happened this week, including, you know, big news on the Pepsi at New York Comic Con, the NASA photos, a couple other exciting things too is, I don't know, Tyler and Adam, if y'all have been playing Destiny recently, but somebody's posted on Reddit. So Tyler's probably already caught wind of this cause he combs every inch of Reddit is, that there's actually a new level that you can't save anything on from the new expansion for Destiny. Have y'all seen that?
Well, there's a lot of, so this time around, they were very secretive about where they put certain things, specifically exotic weapons. So there's a lot of very weird rooms or side quests that are not explained, not explicitly. You just have to wander around and go down the wrong path during a certain quest on a certain day when it's the daily, whatever. so people are finding a lot of weird rooms that behave strangely and they don't know why. And Bungie has been very clear that they're not going to tell us why. You just got to play and find out. So
can't be saved. Yeah, they have special, you know, they're special raids. They have weapons in there. You know, if you die in there, you're like all the way back out and have to somehow find your way back in there when it's supposedly impossible to do in the first place. Some things that have even mimicked, they said things that seem straight out of, quote, Super Mario World, things like that. So a lot of throwbacks. So a lot of Ready Player One type things going on in this expansion of Destiny. So a lot being shared, including Tyler's screen right now. So pretty interesting if you're playing Destiny. So you guys haven't ran into that yet?
Oh, no. I got the Black Spindle.
Yeah,
which
I
was
did.
One of the items. It's a legendary sniper rifle that you had to do the daily heroic when it was on a particular level, and then you had to not go where the mission tells you to go and just go to another part of the level and get aboard a ship. And then you had to kill everything on the ship in 10 minutes. And it is super hard, but
yeah, it was miserable. But
you get a really awesome sniper rifle, which is
I did the quest and couldn't beat it. I didn't start doing it until the last day of it. And I missed out on it. So, but I did the quest and it's, yeah, but there's a lot of that stuff hidden and people are just now starting to find it. So there'll be a lot of these coming out, I think, over the next few months.
Yeah, and Bungie just did an announcement today that this year, for the second year of Destiny, they won't be doing DLC, so you're not going to be paying more money. What they're going to do to keep money coming in, obviously they need to do something. They're actually going to start selling cosmetic items and microtransactions, which scares a lot of people. But if you wanted a particular shader, you could go buy one. Or if you wanted a dance move, you could go buy it, that kind of stuff. And then periodically or randomly be releasing free to play like new levels, new missions, new quests, stuff like that for free. So that was kind of an update that literally just happened, you know, 3 hours before we started recording.
I like that. I like that. To me, it's because you give the levels to everybody so you can continue to play with your friends no matter where they sit on a financial spectrum, wherever they sit in, not even financially, just where they feel about having to pay for additional levels. And then those that want to spend that money can go spend it on things that aren't necessarily a must to continue playing. I think that's a better picture. I think that's a better model for doing this. So I think that's the right decision to go. Because personally, like I don't even want to buy this expansion right now. I get it before you guys run off on me.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
But my son really wants it, and I don't want to pay for it for him because it's just like you just used your money to buy two other expansions. I'm not going to let you buy this one right now, also. So him to be able to play those levels as a 11-year-old kid and not have to worry about convincing dad to pay for him or take his own birthday money to do it, I think it's much more rewarding than him having to figure out, do I really want to spend the few bucks on that extra cape or, like you said, that dance move or something. So I think it's the right decision.
Yes, sir.
No other feedback on it.
No, so, I already gave my opinion. Yeah.
So I think I was just trying to check the time because I did not keep track of time on this episode like I typically do. And we're pretty much at the hour mark. So
Oh, final thoughts, Iggy.
Fun. Well played, Aaron.
The preemptive strike. I like
my final thoughts. My final thoughts is this week we saw two new comics announced for Project Nerd Publishing to round out our first four. I don't want to say final four because they're our first four. And really exciting, too, is that by the time you're listening to this on Friday, Monday, we will be launching our first Kickstarter campaign for That Bulletproof Kid, only looking to raise $1,500. Comics are just $5 plus $2 shipping, so the perk is $7, just like it would be if you were buying it on our online store when it does become available. So help us out. Go pre-order the number one issue. The more we can sell through this Kickstarter campaign, the more money we raise here, the quicker we can get you issues 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and so forth of this one, because the Bulletproof Kid is an ongoing series by Matt Keim, and we're so excited to have it as part of our launch slate. It's really fun. Kind of think teenage superhero-ish, Spider-Man type thing, mixed in with a little bit type of Superman, a lot of other alien stuff going on. So really fun and exciting. A lot of inspiration borrowed there, but at the same time, completely original story.
Super good. I'm really excited to read it.
And of course, we've also announced Andrews Bergen's Tobacco Stained Mountain Goat for the first time ever in serial format. So in a comic book series, mini series, based on his, good selling novel, well received novel too. So we're excited to have that as part of our first launch. But right behind That Bulletproof Kid, we'll also have what I'm super excited for, and Aaron helped create the character, so she'll have pictures of, is Barons, which is a really exciting story. Post-apocalyptic, world's been destroyed. Now the world's fine, actually. It's people have been, dwindled down by virus and war and everything like that. The last few remaining cities in the United States are all heavily protected and for the wealthy, or you have to do some things you don't want to do to live there and serve the wealthy. But when the wealthy have to get from one city to the next, they have to travel through the Barons. So they have to hire an escort. And that's where our main character, Esme Ford, comes in. Really cool post-apocalyptic story written by C.W. Cook, who's responsible for Solitary by C.W. Cook, as well as arts by Brian Timmons, another Kansas City fantastic person in the comic book community who's done some great work too. That one I'm really excited about because helping create, the arc, the world, everything about it. And the last one that's announced prior to this podcast going is Clock Puncher, also by C.W. Cook and featuring the art of Chris Finoglio, who does the art for, I want to say it's Orphan Black, IDW's Orphan Black. So pretty awesome there to have that. Clock Puncher, really exciting, guys. So you guys, I know this one hasn't been talked about amongst us as a group much, so you probably don't know as much about it. But basically take a worthless middle-aged 30 guy who's not really good at anything, ends up being the most important person in the multiverse. So he has to be teamed up with some badass female cop. And let's just say comedy, antics, and some, action ensues. So
I think what you were looking for was hilarity. Hilarity.
That as well. That as well. So that looks to be a promising series too, but that's our four to start with. Aaron, I was ready on the spot when you hit me with that final thought, just gave it to you. Project Nerd Publishing over at pnpublishing.com. As you can tell by the way I'm acting right now, so excited for this to be a part of Project Nerd now, for us to be producing comics. So
Aaron, I'm ready to talk about myself. Okay, now.
Never mind. We'll wait. We'll go to Adam first.
This is crap.
Final thought this week would be that there are lots of good things coming out. So video games, always an exciting time. Movies, an exciting time. By the time this is live, we were 1 week away from Crimson Peak, which I'm excited about. Scary movies around Halloween, always a seller for me, especially when you attach Guillermo del Toro to it. You're also about a couple weeks out from Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which has gotten favorable reviews compared to Assassin's Creed Unity from last year. So a couple of big things coming up that I am very excited about and definitely looking forward to.
Aaron, did you want to go next or do you want Tyler to go next?
I can wait.
All right, fine. Then you can go next. Go ahead, Aaron.
You don't tell me how to live my life. Jeez, you're so bossy.
You said you were ready. So are you gonna finish this up?
Okay. Listen, you guys, seriously. I am really excited about the fact that I helped design a character, and that a character in a comic book is kind of like drawn based on me as the model. So, huge bragging point this week that I get to talk about. And I'm excited to read the Barons, or not the Barons. I'm excited to read Barons because it's going to be really good because it's written by C.W. Cook and he's freaking amazing. And the art is going to be really amazing. And it's just awesome.
Is it basically going to be a recapture of the time you went to L.A. and hung out with a bunch of people?
This is a lot more intense. This is me printed forever in history.
So now I'm curious if you've actually been listening to any of the last like five podcasts we've done, because Iggy's tried to get you to talk about this like four or five times, and you're either A, not listening, or just don't want to talk about it. And now all of a sudden,
I didn't want to talk about it before. Sometimes things are just so epically amazing that, believe it or not, I can't speak about it. It's kind of like when I saw V for Vendetta the first time, and I couldn't speak about it for days because it was so good. And this, Tyler, I am a comic book character is being modeled after me.
I will give her.
Yeah, I know.
I will give her.
Iggy talked about it on the podcast.
I will give her the past few weeks. She has been finishing the costume. She did do a shoot with the Greg Ron Geeks to get that away. So now that she's got all her stuff out of the way and she's seen artwork of herself, you know, out there, I mean, it is different.
And I also don't like talking about myself and bragging too much. So,
on that note, Tyler, your closing thought for the week.
Two things. Tomorrow, which is Tuesday, but after this comes out, so it'll have been last Tuesday. Two things come out that I'm pretty excited about. Number one is Shadows of Self, which is a new book by Brandon Sanderson. I've talked about him before. I'm a huge Brandon Sanderson fan. He had a trilogy that really put him on the map quite a few years back called the Mistborn Trilogy. And then he picked it back up again about a year ago with another series that takes place a couple thousands of years later in the same world. And that book was called Alloy of Law. And this is the sequel to that called Shadows of Self with Wax and some other cool characters that he introduced in that book. But if you're not familiar with Brandon Sanderson, Mistborn, Atlantis, Warbreaker, he was the guy who finished Wheel of Time. He also he's doing the Stormlight Archive series. Really cool author. And then tomorrow, Adam already brought up some of the other stuff coming up, but this last Tuesday or tomorrow, the triumphant return of Guitar Hero to video game consoles.
Wait, that's this week? Time.
It comes tomorrow.
Yes, I'm picking it up. I'm so excited for Guitar Hero.
So Guitar Hero Live is back.
Because it's been gone for, what is that? What are we at? Three?
It's been a while.
It's 4 years, probably. Longer, you think? Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it would have been, more than 5 years.
It's been quite a while. Because like they stopped making the games, but you could still sort of find the equipment occasionally in places. Or they kept making games, but stopped making guitars. And so
right, there are tracks available through the stores and stuff like that you wanted to.
So ready for this. I don't know why. Like, I got burnt out and tired of it. But now that we've had that gap, like, in the past year, I've talked about, man, I think I might just go online and try to find an old Guitar Hero game because I just want to play it again.
Yeah, between them and Rock Band,
a lot of fun.
They flooded the market and kind of killed it, and then they needed to wait a little while. But tomorrow Guitar Hero Live comes out, and the reviews for it have been pretty solid. They've made a lot of changes that people really like. The only complaints I've seen is that the track list is a little lackluster compared to.
Oh, I'm sure, because we're in the world of downloadable content right now. So that's why I'm sure why.
Well, and they got to get back on with those companies. Like, hey, we want to use those songs again. Like, there was a time where at the end, like, those games were so big that if you had this artist that was maybe a little less well known, take their tracks, put them on there because we'll sell music.
Because at the peak of it, like, people would kill to get their music on there. I mean, it's one of those things, one of those factoids that people throw around is that Aerosmith Guitar Hero, the game, made more money for Aerosmith the band than any album they had ever released prior to that. Like,
serious?
The licensing rights alone, like, they had a good deal, but based off licensing rights alone, they made more money off of that video game than they never made off of an album.
That's insane.
Exciting. So with that, we're going to wrap it up next weekend. You'll hear us, but when you're hearing it next Friday, of course, we'll be at Tallgrass Film Festival enjoying some awesome independent movies and getting some fantastic interviews with some directors, creators, movie stars for you. Aaron will be handling those interviews, of course, on the
video
front.
Yeah, I'll be there.
We'll also be recording a special podcast that will come out in the following weeks too, with our very own good friend, Ethan Minsker, the head honcho of the antagonist movement. pretty.
That's cool. A fun guy. Yeah.
Aaron didn't brag about this though, but there might be some video recording for a future movie going on involving the Project Nerd team. So anyways, with that, we're going to close up for another awesome week. It was a fun episode. Just like The Martian, time flew by. Didn't even know what was going on. Pacing was great. Aaron got bored at times though, but hey, that's normal. We had a great episode. So with that, we will catch you next week, as we'll be just a few episodes shy of Lucky Number 100.